executive session. And fiscal year ending June 3rd, 2019. Mr. Thompson's not here, but Mr. Albie McLawhorn. You will step up here and get started, sir.
I have a copy of a letter that you may already be privy to, but I'm just going to circulate it around to everyone.
Should I leave one on the folks' desks who aren't here just in case?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
There you are. How are you?
Great, hope you are.
Yes.
I am.
Are y'all ready for the force?
We hope so.
Yep, heading to the beach in the morning.
Ready or not, here it comes.
So I also have an itemized letter that I can make copies of with all the items, some of which I spoke about last time. But,
did you get one to, excuse me, did you get one to the assistant county manager?
We now have a new.
Yes.
I'm more than happy to. I apologize.
Thank you.
So, in the interest of trying to get to a awardable contract figure, A.R. Chesson has supplied me with a list here that is circulated to the county manager.
We have forwarded that to the board on Friday.
And it has 25 items on it for value engineering, of which we don't want to accept all. I had spent the time pretty much since the last meeting going back and forth with Will, and it's fairly time consuming on his part because he's got to go back to each sub and say, hey, this is the number of the contract that I'm going to award you. Are you okay with it on a contract-by-contract basis? So the first nine items of which, and I'll kind of cycle through these fairly quickly, we took no exception to. That included using a different glazing storefront supplier. That's one of the items we talked about. That was a fairly large savings. Using manual hardware in lieu of the electrified hardware sets. That was a very substantial savings. Removing the camera system. That's something that you can subcontract separately, but that was an $18,000 line item. There were a couple of sections of casework with plumbing in the community space, about 40 linear feet. That particular section did not have uppers. It was lower cabinets only, and not have quartz in that location. The quartz was at the circulation desk and a couple of the other sort of higher use daily locations. That savings was just over $14,000 for taking that out. So I felt like in the scheme of trying to get to the VE, that made sense. That was when I suggested trying to get to the number. The intent there was that either party could effectively lock things in the space, thereby kind of claiming that space. But since the subdividable partition is not in the base bid, at that point they're not going to be doing it anyway until that partition gets installed. So at that point there's no reason for them to have that lock in the space. So that was the reason for that one. Using 2 inches of asphalt instead of 3 inches of asphalt in all locations shown to be 3 inches of asphalt in the parking area. Item number six was use 6 inches of stone instead of 8 inches of stone on the heavy duty asphalt areas. So that makeup is sort of a DOT baseline recommendation that our consulting group was designing around. You're not going to have heavy duty by the context of what the DOT would define as heavy duty. So our civil engineer saw no reason to object to that, even if you have your dumpster being emptied on a regular basis and school classes coming in, that's still not what the DOT would consider heavy duty. So making that reduction, that was actually suggested by the site contractor, so that was fair value. On the tile, what we did there was we actually preserved the floor tile throughout. There was a bunch of back and forth about whether the cost of the tile was expensive, but what we did do, we had a lot of four single-user restrooms that had tile all the way up almost to the ceiling, and those are much lower frequency of use. So we basically took the wall tile off of those, and instead of having special shape cove tile and bullnose tile, What we have is a Schluter, a stainless steel Schluter that we've used on a lot of locations so that we eliminate all special shaped tile, which the special shaped tile, they typically have a different lead time and they charge by the tile, whereas the field tile, it's a square foot cost of the tile. And so that's a very big savings. So that's how we achieve not messing up the design, is, you know, more than we absolutely could still preserve all of the features that are going to make it low maintenance. That's effectively what we're trying to do. Let's see here. Number eight was suggested by the site contractor. That's basically instead of using an 18-inch out of RCP, using an HDPE, which is not something anyone in this room is really going to care about. So it's $1,800. It was also another site savings suggested, and that was civil engineer had no issues with that because it's not in a drivable area. So using the thicker gauge plastic on the number nine didn't matter to him. He basically had a sort of cover his butt. It didn't matter where it was run on the site in a thicker plastic. Then we did say no to number 10, which was the quartz substitution to solid surface. Solid surface is still not ugly, but it will scratch much more easily than a quartz product. So we just felt like with a circulation desk, not knowing how much use that was really going to get things sliding back and forth across it, we didn't feel comfortable with that substitution. That was a $7,200 number that we said no to. Let's see, I'm going to touch on the others that we said yes to. Let's see here. So we had, there was temporary construction fencing to secure the site. This is not the silt fencing. This is a securable fence around the entire site. Using a Connex storage box on site in lieu of that, he's still going to have his silt fence around the entire perimeter, but save $5,000. So we felt like that was, as long as the site's securable from the standpoint of not having things walk off, that's not an issue. We typically do not allow folks to charge for items that are not secured on site. So that's where how it's secured on site would matter. We want to make sure that you haven't paid for something as a county. It's there and then it's not there. So making sure that it's secured on site is a big deal. Light fixture changes. So that's just a substitution of the type of light fixture. It's not dramatic. We'll have cut sheets for those that we can share with everyone. We said no to the deletion of the hood after talking with Billy. Even though that's 36 as offered for the commercial hoods, he felt like that would potentially impact the usability of the space to do the culinary classes the way he had programmatically envisioned. And the other part of saying no to that is there's a lot of other mechanical that they really weren't offering sort of what I felt like was a full credit towards. So if we're not going to get the credit on the HVAC associated with that, because basically you had to oversize your cooling for that space to account for the fact that you're exhausting so much air with those commercial hoods.
Yep.
So since we weren't getting that money back, we're just like, no, it's not really worth paying. We have a carpet substitution. This is also a carpet that was shared with all the user groups, so it still does largely what we had intended to do. The users weren't objectionable to that. My interior designer said the other carpet was nicer, but at $9,000, I'm like, I'm okay with that. The site lighting, so this is one that we said yes to, but I am interested in the board's take on this particular item. You can basically have site lights that are furnished by the project, or you can lease them for your utility provider. So the value that we got back for the light poles in the parking area is $4,000. So that's something where...
That's the purchase?
That's the savings back. Well, I don't know the exact purchase value. This is the included in the base bid was the purchase of the lights.
Yeah, before we can make that decision, we need to know what the lease price is going to be.
It depends on the type of light you would select. I mean, I got a breakdown on two or three different lights.
Maybe you can just shoot that in the sky and then we can go from there and just see what it's going to be. Yeah.
The only other thing is if you care about what it looks like, there's only three options. You really don't have a lot of option for what you pick if you're trying to standardize the county property or something like that. But a lot of our clients will lease if it's a large scale space, if the utility provider has good options.
So that's where that is. We also said no to the taking out of the wood deck in the space, which was a fairly significant item. Let's see. We did say yes also to, it was only $1,200, but reducing the area that was to be grubbed and cleared sort of away from the backside of the site, which I would say the intent there was to use that as overflow parking if you needed to, but it's $1,200. We just felt like having more buffer back there was probably not a bad right. savings. So all total, the items that I listed there in green would result in a contract award amount, and you see that there at the bottom of the page, of $3,688,199, and that's still about $1 a square foot higher than what we were targeting at, which is, I think, we were targeting. Yep. So
they came in at 251.
They were a dollar higher square foot.
You and I had a pretty good guess on that.
Yeah, we were pretty on the mark.
I don't know how to get any tighter than that.
So. And what I didn't want to do is keep going back and forth with A.R. Chesson about, because they listed other things that I feel like qualitatively we're not getting our dollars back at the right rate that we should on the bid. So my recommendation was to secure the pricing. If the board says, look, we still need to get back that additional $14,500 to make it exactly what our starting point for the budget was, then we can still do that once they're under contract and work with them. But at this point, I'm not really comfortable hemming and hawing with them about that number. I want to get them under contract, lock their prices down with all their subs. So I've got a recommendation to award letter drafted that I would basically, with the board's approval, basically issue to A.R. Chesson so that they can begin the process of populating the contract with proper information for execution.
So that we can send it to the attorney. The attorneys have had the boilerplate.
Right.
I think Jonathan's been through it a couple times and he's seen.
Is the attorney's comfortable with the agreement that he has drawn up?
I don't know. We've seen the boilerplate one, and yes, it's pretty, it's boilerplate, just right. Like it goes.
Okay.
Have no problems with that. I mean, I hadn't seen these specific numbers, obviously.
Right, and so
well,
we,
as long
we
as the
can't
bottom line numbers are 3688, and the $14,000 difference, we can work towards that, as he just said, as we go forward.
Right.
The only thing is, on the wording of the contracts and things of that nature, and I know that you're the oversight and this, that, and the other, but, you know, retainage, things that go into a contract as far as building a complex like this here, typically there's 10% retainage. To get people to do what they need to be done in case they start falling behind. The job starts dragging and there's penalization codes and things of that nature. Are those written in the contract or will they be written in the contract?
Yes, so we will have a retainage value
okay.
in the contract.
And what is that retainage value you usually deal with? It's 10%?
We typically deal with 5, I believe, but I will double check the boilerplate language. And
okay.
there's usually a reduction once they get halfway over halfway through, they can request a retainage reduction to 2.5 as long as the job's on schedule and running right. It's typically what I've seen, but I will double check that.
And that's usually only after the job is 3/4 of the way done when right. they start reducing the retainage amounts, okay?
Okay.
So.
So if that's one of the sticking points, that's not hard
no, I just,
for us to
I just
in.
Think it's important, Albie, that we have that in there. We didn't have a lot of that kind of language that was in the school, okay? Lloyd, if you remember correctly, when we had some issues out there at the school, I mean, that we really didn't have any legs to stand on when we started having some structural cracking and things of that nature. We had to hire an engineer to come out there and this, that, and the other. You know, I'd like some language about that also. If we have any issues within the warranty period that consists of us being doing due diligence, okay, as far as us being safe and secure as far as the people out there, if we have to hire an outside engineer to look at this like we did at this high school that we've built, okay, we need to have that kind of language in there because their attorneys had pretty much wiped all this out because we weren't used to it. This was prior to this board even being, I wasn't even around when this language was not installed in there.
There will definitely be retainage on the project. The other thing that we do on all of our public projects is we basically don't pay for any materials unless it's actually secured on site. A lot of times folks will ask about a bonded warehouse or something like that. And if the warehouse is bonded, sometimes that's at each owner's pleasure. If it's a bonded warehouse and we physically have laid eyes on it ourselves as the party approving the payment applications, some clients have said okay to that, but that's something that we would spell out up front in the contract before anything changes there.
Okay,
typically,
so
we say no unless it's on site.
So basically what you want from us today is a motion, I'd assume county manager, to move forward with a contract is what you're looking at?
I would like to, I have a draft of a recommendation to award letter
okay.
that I believe this county would need to have we would need approval from the board to basically proceed with the process of having them present a contract to you all.
Okay.
Basically.
So
I have a second on that.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So that's
who made the motion on that?
Bay. She did.
Okay, thank you.
She was second.
It was so sorry.
And what we'll do is basically take this back and have to populate an entire contract so that all parties can look at that. That'll also get them working towards securing all of the information that they need for their SERP contract.
So schedule-wise, the likely notice to proceed might occur?
With the holiday right falling in the middle of this week, I would say that, I don't know what time the attorney would like to have the actual contract populated in hand, but typically that's no shorter than 2 weeks to kind of look at.
Bids expire on May 16th.
Well, no, so what would happen is as soon as he would pull this.
As soon as he gets that letter, that we're
right.
locked in.
Okay.
Yeah, we're locked in. The numbers are locked in even without the contract.
That's why we'll go ahead and go through
it. Lets him know he's got the job, what he just did.
Right. So that way he knows that the job is his, provided he can.
And please make it known to them, we're going to want certain language in this contract,
right.
Okay? For both parties to be protected, to be quite frank with you. Okay, and that's the deal.
And it's our intention to be on site weekly mm-hmm. once the project starts. We will also have a pre-construction meeting mm-hmm. where any parties that would like to talk about the county's interest mm-hmm. on a first-hand basis are more than happy to be part of that discussion.
Well, I mean, we had that before also, mm-hmm. and I think that's great. And Albie, I know you're going to do a great job for us. I just want to make sure that we do not run into the same situation that we had with the high school, okay? And it was the way the contract was written, it was the way the language in that contract was that enabled people to move forward, okay? And not come back and make the repairs that should have been repaired the way it should have been done, okay?
Okay,
and that's all.
That's not an issue. Is there anything else? I know there was some trepidation expressed with regard to AR Chesson. We feel like there is as local, and obviously when Winco was the second low bidder on the project, they did not have quite as much local participation as AR Chesson did. I think the site contractor probably bid them uniquely. And the site contractor was from Berkey County, so that was a pretty big difference in number. So
hopefully they'll do us better than they did Burford County.
Well, that had a lot to do with a lot of different things, but I have to say this. Albie is going to be overseeing this whole project. If he's overseeing this whole project, it takes it out of our hands as far as the oversight of the thing. Mm-hmm. This is his baby. I don't want to tell him, other than I think we should have a voice as far as who we use, but I don't have a problem using it as long as he doesn't have a problem using it, okay? And if he hasn't got a problem using it, I don't have a problem using it, because we're going to hold his feet to the fire as far as things go.
So there are a couple other things that we'll do. Once we get out to the site and we have some submittals coming in, it would be nice to have some of the stakeholders involved in kind of looking at those things. So the various benchmarks, we'll make sure that Scott knows about that. If anyone wants to kind of come out and look at mock-ups of materials as they start to be put into place, just because we have a color pick doesn't mean you can't change certain brick. If you see it starting to go up on a mock-up panel, it's a lot easier to say that's not quite what I had in mind. Doing more than that and then saying, oh, that's not really what we envisioned. So sometimes it looks different on a small scale sample or on a rendering than it actually does in real life. So we want to put all the provisions in place that we can to check things down early in the process and make sure that everybody feels like it's exactly what you kind of were hoping for.
Been asked 1,000 times when we're going to get started.
Well, as soon as I think they've got a good superintendent queued up to do this project and competent. Good, competent person. So I think they're chomping at the bit. And,
what was the start date that you had on that schedule for us already? What was the start date?
I'm sorry, I do not have that in front of me.
I can't remember, but I think we're still ahead of schedule.
So I think at this point, once we issue a notice to proceed, if they want to do it for, if we can get all the contracts managed here in the next 2 weeks, that's what I'm going to aim. Okay. I want to start.
Because I think we're still ahead of schedule.
Right.
Okay.
Their project manager is the same person that did the Martin County regional backup for 911, and the vice chairman and William and I walked through that the other day, and they're just about finished, and they're anxious to get moved up here and, yeah, and working on this project, and the folks in Martin are very pleased with the work they've done on that project.
Thank you all very much. I'll go ahead and get this ball rolling. Have something in your hands here shortly.
Okay.
We're excited.
Thank you, Alvin.
I've already ordered a hard hat for Mr. Vaughn over there who will be helping us in the field on this project.
If y'all need an extra, let us know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Alan Thompson is not here as of
yet. Yeah, just so you know, he's en route. He comes from Whiteville, which is in Columbus County. He called at 1:30, and he was in Robeson County on I-95, stuck in standstill traffic due to an accident. So he's plugging his way up here, and will be here shortly. But that gives us the benefit to talk about this a little bit. William and I contacted 14 or 15 different firms. His group was the only one that was really serious about saying they could take on a project this late in the game. Ideally, we'd have an auditor at DSS right now working on their materials. Most of the firms we called said they'd love to do the work, but they're not staffed to add on another county. This group does Chowan County, Northampton County, Hertford County, Nash County. There's a number of their groups listed in the materials we sent out the other week. Their quote of $54,750, I think, is within $6,000 of Jeff's quote. And they're suggesting they could probably hold that price for 3 years if the board were to choose to go with them. But they're a very polished and professional group, and I'm anxious to have Mr. Thompson come in here so you can all eyeball
last year,
him.
When we started talking about this originally, I reached out to one of the Chowan County commissioners. He's no longer commissioner at this point, but he had nothing to say.
So he knew of this firm?
Good.
Well, since he isn't here, can we go ahead and discuss this?
Yeah, if you all could give us some direction and consensus as to, again, I want to clarify, it's the five commissioners sitting up there. We'll make some kind of provisions for that side and this side to be either in matching.
Well, they need to be matching,
yes.
So it won't be just these little tables.
Yeah. Exactly. What you're saying here also is 28 inches in height. It's only going to be 15 inches. It's just a minute. Did you get one of these?
I didn't.
You did not? Have you got any extra ones?
Passes,
thank you. I think I got them all.
Okay. Well, what we got here, now Danny Jernigan's supposed to be here. I don't know why he's not here. Sarah, if you can place a call to Anthony, maybe.
Sure.
I
don't know if we invited him to be here.
No, he was invited to be here because I told him to be here Monday.
Oh, good, okay.
Okay, the first. Please call Anthony and get a hold of him. Ask him to get a hold of Danny because Danny was told to be here Monday for this meeting at 4 o'clock.
Okay, sure, I got Danny.
And bring.
I got Danny.
Okay.
Just Anthony, let Anthony deal with it. Be the best thing to do since he deals with Anthony all the time.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
First thing is that this platform is set at 28 inches, okay? You've got four risers with 7.5 inches each, so 28 to 30 inches. You're only going to have two steps going up, and so it's going to be a height of 15 inches, okay? That's what it's going to be. It'll be handrail going up here like this. Now, what you're looking at is basically this picture right here, which gives a better profound slant, square off at the front, then slant back, okay? It'll also include panels going down the walls here, panels going down the walls here, okay? And then there will be a ledge like this framed on top with granite on top of that and granite coming across the main part of the table here, okay? And of course, be panels on the platform itself also, okay?
This will be on the outside of this ledge?
On the outside of the ledge here,
uh-huh.
right here, panels.
So the panels will
yeah.
come all
it's
the way
It's going to come up.
Up,
and then create a section of wood going across there, and then a chichol, 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 chichol. That's the only way I can describe it. But we'll get a better drawing as we move forward with it. That's pretty much the idea that we discussed with him. That total cost, that's about 12 grand, okay, to get all this done, okay, without the grant, all right? And we,
so how much higher will you all be sitting on?
We're going to be 15, say, 7.5, 7, it's going to be 15 inches. We'll be 15 inches higher, okay, on a platform than the actual finished floor, okay? And then that's where it's going to be.
Sounds
so,
like a lot.
So it's just two steps up there?
Just two, okay. not
okay.
four.
Okay. And I assume the expectation is we will do new carpet?
If that's what we've got in the budget.
I don't know. I don't remember what we budgeted for.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
I'm sure Anthony has planned appropriately.
He's
going
to reach out to him, too, by the way.
Okay. He recalled it, then.
Yeah. I love it. I love it as well.
Okay. So you're good? You good, Tammy?
I'm good.
You two are good? I'm good. Okay.
I'm great. New board.
Yeah, new chairs out there, too?
Yeah.
Yes. And as long as these don't keep breaking, these would be fine. To match. I mean, it would match pretty with what we have. But definitely new chairs out there.
Well, you may want to look at some other ones, man. Well, let me mention another one real quick. Animal shelter. Commissioner Lee had texted me yesterday. You know, we installed fans a few years ago to help circulate the air. One of the challenges with that was that they had no electricity in the animal shelter. Well, Anthony's going to take steps to get the fans swapped out. I know the chairman's had some discussions about
it. Yeah, last week I met with Alexander Metal Buildings and out there at the site. And we're going to have an actual set of drawings to come in so you guys can see how this thing is going to be. It's going to tie into the old animal shelter that's there. And probably be 2,500 square feet added on to the 2,000 square feet that they have already. And we have water runoff. Actually use the sewer system that's already there. We just tap into it, be able to save some money on this thing that way. And but he's getting it drawn up and hopefully have it by the end of next week. And that way we can bring it before the morning. You guys can look at it and see what you think.
You said there. For right now they're swapping fans out?
Yeah, they're going to replace the one. I don't know how many are malfunctioning out of the group.
Okay.
There's about six
of them. Donations on Facebook.
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
I
did.
So we're going to maybe have plans in the next meeting? Is that what was it?
We're going to have some elevations, and we're also going to have actually a diagram, okay? And as far as floor plan and some elevation, as far as how this is going to tie in and all that for everybody to look at, see if that's what they like, what they want. And we some site work has to be done in front of this to have the water grade taken down, but we will be using a concrete block stem wall, okay, with a recess in it to prevent water from coming into the building itself. And so we've already got that planned out. Solid pour concrete wall up front and then put the block in a recess there. So it's gonna be sitting up high enough where there's no way water can penetrate the building like they got now or penetrating. Plus we're gonna do some site work in front of there. Probably take 3 hours worth of site work to make it slope the way it needs to slope, okay? Because you can slope it at an angle like this where it goes on out the other way.
Now is that money still in the budget?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wondered if we had spent it too
much. No, that's okay. There for you.
If we're going to be reviewing these plans of next week, I recommend having the animal control officer.
Scott and I talked about that the other day. It's,
and Diane, too.
Yeah, I mean, she really needs to look at it even before they get to here, okay? Mm-hmm. So if I get them by the end of next week, she's going to have them in her hands because Scott's mm-hmm. going to have them, and he can get them to her. She can look at it from there and draw whatever things we got going on in there. And there's a lot of things we got to do. Concrete block walls in between each cage, going up a certain height, all kinds of different stuff. So,
I got another one I can throw at you while we wait for the auditor. There's a one-page item in front of each of you with my draft of proposed Bertie Beach user guidelines. Park is open daylight hours only, no parking on the beach, no alcohol, no glass containers, no fires, swimming at your own risk, we have that posted. Children must be supervised by an adult at all times. Boat launching is for canoes, kayaks, and paddle boards only, not for motorboats. We don't have the turnaround and the parking for boats with trailers. And I was talking with Commissioner Lee, and she had a really interesting suggestion, is that we go up and put a cable at the top of the beach walk so that nobody's going to try to get down there with their truck or their car and then get stuck, because that sand is very, very soft down there.
The boys with their four-wheel drives with the big old tires will be down there trying to see what they can do.
Republic is going to let us have several of their containers so that we can probably keep three cans on the beach front and a couple of cans up top. We need to talk about smoking. Smoking was popular down there Saturday. And, you know, we talk a lot about smoking in our buildings. I don't know that we allow smoking, say, at the ball field and around the...
I thought we had to do
it. No, I think it's prohibited. I was thinking, help me out, Lord. I was thinking we prohibited it.
We talked about the smoking, and then we talked about the guns, and one of them you had to allow.
I think you're allowed to have guns.
Guns you're allowed to have, tobacco you're not.
Wow.
So people are allowed to take guns on this public beach? Because when I didn't see that, that was the first thing I was going to bring up.
I can give you an answer in about 2 minutes. I don't want to, but I remember the
I guess you just can't discharge
it. Yeah, I know, but how do we prevent that from happening?
Yeah.
If you've got a private carry, I mean...
Well, listen, we've got rules right here, Lloyd, that state you cannot carry a weapon on this because it's public. It's not public property. It's the courthouse. It is the administration buildings. And I don't know why it would be any different than down there.
You can keep them out.
Thank you.
I mean, I would say, let's say no guns, no weapons, no guns. And somebody wants to challenge it, then they can challenge it. But I don't think that... I mean, us doing our due diligence on something like this, I'd hate for somebody to go down there and somebody be down there with somebody they ain't supposed to be, and all of a sudden...
We had this discussion when we was talking about it originally in the park, the recreational park, and there's some law that says that it applied. I remember what that law was.
Yeah, it's one thing if a person's down there fishing and smoking a cigar and... But if you're around a big crowd of people, it's very unpleasant if somebody puts down a beach chair next to you and then they light up a cigarette and the smoke blows.
We could have a designated area, I guess.
Well, let's get back to the weapon thing. It's even more unpleasant if you're sitting down there and somebody drops in with an AR-15 and sits there at the sits down beside you. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm very much more concerned about that than I am cigarette smoke. Yeah. Or if some guy's got his bathing suit trunks on, he's got a 9mm strapped to his side.
I
got an issue. I mean, I got problems with that. I got people going into public stores that I have issues with that, carrying a weapon on them. Mm-hmm. Whether we're concealed or whether we are an
open carry
or not, I don't think they should be doing that.
Yeah. Well, when I walk in this building, I got mine.
If you can't.
You got your gun when you come in this building?
I don't. I said that except for when I walk into this building, I have mine.
So the way it is now. Can't curse, you can't smoke, but you can carry a weapon.
Well, I don't know. This is just draft.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
it's crazy.
This is just.
Okay, now that park is open daylight hours only. Daylight would not be 9 to 5.
No, it would, I would think
dusk
like
to dawn, one or dawn to
9 to 8. This time,
yeah. Okay, just want to make sure.
You know, 30 minutes before sunrise and 30 minutes after sunset.
Yeah, there are people who like to get in early and late, they don't like the sun. Mm-hmm.
Right, that's what I was asking.
I bet several people called me yesterday and today, and basically I meant Courtney called me today. And I said, when I talked to the county manager and other people, it was from dawn to dusk. That's how I kind of looked at it. And that,
you know, and I don't know that we're going to have
I don't see Courtney out there
officers out there too often checking, but. You know, if somebody wants to do stargazing, they might want to get into an area with no lights. And
we'll just I just want to make sure it wasn't closing that thing.
under 14409-40. Nothing contained in this section prohibits municipalities or counties from application of their authority, and it cites a bunch of other statutes, including prohibiting the possession of farms in public-owned buildings on the grounds or parking areas of those buildings or in public parks or recreation areas, except nothing in this subsection shall prohibit a person from storing a farm within a motor vehicle while the motor vehicle is on those grounds or areas. I knew there was something squirrely about it.
So they can have it in their vehicle.
They can have it stored. They cannot have it out. Okay. Well, assuming you put that in the provision.
So we put no firearms and let them figure the law out. So that needs to be added in there, I think. Do you think so? Tammy wants to go carry a pistol.
I don't like firearms,
so. Well, I don't want to carry a pistol on the beach or anywhere else. I'm fine. I feel safe.
We'll lead that to the sheriff department.
Yeah, I think so.
It won't be done down there.
Scott, one thing I was going to suggest for you, and you did a good job drafting these up, we've got swim at your own risk. Y'all also put the R&O lifeguards. Most
lifeguards
typically do that.
Is there going to be a sign with this down there?
Yeah, that's what we'd like to do. We wanted to get some consensus so that we could take this and develop some signage. And I wanted to talk a little more about the pets, because we announced for the Virginia Beach Day, no pets. A couple folks did come with pets. They were tiny little dogs. I don't know who talked to them. I did see one lady carry her dog back out. I don't know if anybody actually tried to stay. But come on in, Mr. Thompson. But that's something I think it's good to keep the pets away, because it just keeps it cleaner, and some people are so uncomfortable with pets.
So you're going to add that?
I had no pets. I just want to make sure you all are okay with that.
Good.
You get the call, you can say, we talked about this as a board, and the board was...
Okay. Do you need a motion on this, or what?
I just have consensus to work with this.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
I think that'd be great.
I'm good.
Y'all good?
Yeah. And I discussed with Scott this afternoon. I had a call from Joni Surrey, which is the fire chief from Midway. And he had, his concern was that if we don't start this off right to begin with, and the beach gets a bad name, then we've lost a whole pile of money if nobody's going down there to use it. He wanted to make sure that somebody would be going down there to check on it. The sheriff's department would be monitoring it some for behavioral stuff, make sure the trash cans were getting emptied and it wasn't getting trashed. Anyway, so I relayed all that to Scott.
And Barry Anderson has agreed to check it in the mornings. And I was really relieved when he went down today to let me know nothing happened on Sunday to make a mess or anything. We do know that people went down to enjoy it, but whatever they had, they put in the trash can. So.
Wow.
And Barry did an excellent job with the crews that he had down there to get the place cleaned up.
And Barry's crews are still with us, and they will continue to work their way down that beach. Because, we used not even 10%. Of the beachfront. So we'll continue to try to make progress cleaning that up, and also one day having another access path that you can walk down on the other corner.
Great job.
All right, we got that clean. We're good? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Alan Thompson.
And I explained you took the scenic route through Robeson County on your...
I did. I had a blast sitting in traffic. Like being on the interstate going 0 miles per hour.
How are you doing?
Doing great.
Good.
Appreciate your patience with me. We are delighted to present a proposal. I did send it over to Scott. I'm happy to answer any questions. We do, to give you a little bit about who we are and how many audits we do and our experience. I've been doing this 35 years come February. Government audits and tax the whole time. I haven't counted, so I apologize. We do about 20 counties, Johnston County being the largest. There's probably approximately 90 governmental audits that we do in the state of North Carolina. towns, council of governments, sanitary districts, school districts, charter school, etc. So most of it we've seen, some of it we really don't want to see again, but we've got a lot of experience to bring to the table in terms of partners and senior staff. My other two partners, one in Elizabethtown, one in Wilmington, both have been with me their whole career in public accounting. One came in 1990, the other in 95. They both became partners in 99, and we've been at it together since then. We've got former finance officers, former payroll clerks that have retired that help us in the compliance section on the DSS, etc., with Medicaid and other issues, which has become a big issue with the state auditor and local government commission trying to make sure we get that squared away. I do understand the importance of the timeliness of the report and trying to make sure we stay on top of that, that it does affect local government commission approving debt and how they see the county, etc. So we do our best to stay on top of that.
Well, let me ask you a question, Mr. Thompson. I don't mean to cut you off. I want to move in here real quick.
Yes, sir.
How large of a staff do you have?
There's 54 people.
You have 54 people on your team?
Yes, okay, sir.
And as far as timeliness, when it comes to getting your audits done, what's your percentage of running on time? I mean, you've got guys that go out there and they may be 45 days, 60 days past them, and you guys are fairly timely in what you do?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Last year, we had a few issues in the sense that where I'm at in Wideville, we got flooded out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that pushed some things back. And I was telling Scott, we probably got, out of our office, we've got two counties that still are hanging. One is a adjacent county that we're just trying to help them work through their issues, and another one is a county in the southern part of the state that
we've had issues come up on the outside of personnel or just not getting it done. There was
right. We didn't get the contract on the other one until January of this year. So
gotcha.
For last year, so I mean there. And we still don't have the stuff to complete the audit, so we're trying to work our way. But like in our biggest one, Johnston County, it'll be complete on time, et cetera. AFIR is finished, the data collection form is finished, et cetera.
Okay. I know that Scott's very thorough, so is William, but my question, if you sat down and talked to William, and you know you've looked at our system, it's compatible with what you guys are doing already, as far as our type of system and the paperwork flow as far as what we're doing, correct?
We have had a conversation, yes, sir, and I think if I'm not mistaken, getting ready to make a software conversion, if I'm not, back to two units, is that on you? So, and we actually have, we have access to some counties' units directly from our office so that we've got experience in the past. We couldn't do it going forward, but where we actually helped the county catch up their books.
Okay.
So we
Hereford does Hereford County, and they're on the same system that we
okay.
are.
And William
used to be the IT person for both counties. He
okay.
Was
that works out great then.
And we do several around here as well. We do Hereford County Schools. We do Chewan, Northampton. I said it wrong when
I said it. Yeah, the list is on page 10 in your agenda packet.
I think I said Pascal Tonk and it's Pascal Tank. So my Wilmington partner does that.
I can't even pronounce it, so we're good to go.
Pascal Tonk.
And we're Bertie and not Bertie.
Exactly. Channel 7 is always making that mistake. Anybody got any other questions for Mr. Thompson?
No.
You good?
I'm good.
Tammy, you good? Great. Good evening.
All right. I really would like a motion on this one.
Okay. I would like to make that motion, okay?
I bet you would.
I'd like to make that motion to move forward with the change of auditing firm to Mr. Thompson. And is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion that needs to be done?
Mr. You're saying as set forth in this proposal was basically...
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay. Motion's been made properly. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
Be safe going home.
Yes, sorry about my lateness.
Now you get to turn around and do it again.
Let that be your last leap.
Just leave on here till 5 o'clock Saturday night.
That was fast. Let's see what I want to talk.
Just an interesting sidebar, the name Price in the firm, he's deceased. He's the oldest one in the firm. My wife worked for this firm 30 years ago.
So I guess he won't be doing our stuff.
Yeah, no. But man, you all know my wife's a nurse practitioner. She started as an accountant.
Oh, wow.
She was raised by an accountant. She went to school for accounting, and she hated it. And then she actually worked for this firm when they first moved to North Carolina.
And my daughter's an accountant. She has a master's degree in city analysis.
Oh, man. Hi, are we?
How long is your video?
We're on 10 minutes.
Let's go ahead and do it.
And you might want to show it again with a bigger audience, but I'd really like y'all to see what Sarah has put together on a very short notice. And again, I can't say enough.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I said, town hall meeting, here we go.
Greg wanted to speak about something. Go ahead.
I just want to address something I've heard before I forget it again. We're rolling today. I haven't actually seen them, but these little dead-end residential roads are out of crawl from Isle of Stokes and that area.
We paved them.
They're being paved.
The state
paved them. The state did it.
I've been hearing a lot of rumors today. Apparently there's a misconception. You hear the same thing, Ben? Apparently there's a misconception that the county is paving these roads, or that the county has at least got something to do with it.
Nothing at all.
Whatever's bad, it's our fault.
Well, I know that, but I think I'm here on our own time where nobody can address it.
The ones that I spoke to, I just told them that, you know, roads are on a cycle.
Well, so
those roads came up. State paid them.
Maybe we put that on the Facebook page that Burton County has nothing to do with any roads as far as paving, unless it falls under the ordinance.
I just tell them this deal.
Is there a name for that subdivision or community other than across from, because I just say across from Powell State, but when it was developed, did it have a developer's name?
Oh, yeah. It's called the floodplain.
Well, if you think of it, if you'd let us know, that would help us put a historical perspective.
It's been flooded over time. That's right. Yeah. I think that's part of the thing that people are upset about.
It's such a waste.
Places that can live now back there, and they're being bought out or whatever, they're paying
the road. Yeah, because when the buyouts occur, the county owns that land.
Right.
So we're going to have county-owned property with nice paved streets.
The problem it wasn't necessarily a complaint about that road, but all the roads that were being paved. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to know, but why they're not paving our road? I was bad too. And I said, well, that's DOT, you might want to call them.
The town of Windsor's been doing a bunch of road paving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the town. Yeah, town streets. But no, they put tar and gravel down on the Bull Hill Road. Yeah, at that field where it was, okay. So and they still haven't put any lines on that road or anything. And so they did that to that road instead of paving it. And then they came and paved those little tiny roads that nobody's living on.
Yeah, I could
figure
out why.
That's where all the complaints
originated from.
And we've put in a call to DOT about the striping of the roads, and they told us it had been ordered. Obviously, they've not seen the striping.
That's when I first started.
We can get that on the Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Facebook page. That we have nothing to do with the paving on any of these roads. Okay.
Y'all want to take a break while I queue it up? Or?
Sure.
Yeah. Up, Chief.
No pressure.
Yeah. Take a 5 minute break.
I tell y'all what, I had a blast, say. I don't know about nobody else, but I had a blast.
I did.
And I want to do it again.
I do too.
I mean, to see from where, I guess that's the beginning pictures here, where we started.
You could tell a lot of work had been done.
Yeah, these are the newer pictures.
But we had some nice old ones.
Yeah.
Do we need to kill the lights to see it?
And Gene, I was so tickled to see you going around talking to people with your little microphone.
It's got out three streets out there. It doesn't apparently have a subdivision. I think I know every house out there. It's Joyner, Thompson, and Baker.
We're going to need to get a bigger screen.
Yeah, I think so. We need to switch out what's going on, unless we already have. About it.
Now, Lloyd, you're going to watch this.
She started?
Sorry. It just kind of took on my
head. I said, what the what?
They're so cute.
That is Thank you.
So if it's okay with you all, we're going to put that on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Fine with me.
Just take my picture off of it.
I'll blow it
only
up.
Only if you get 3 votes.
Not going to happen. Ain't going to happen.
Make it happen.
I say blow her up. Yeah. Zoom in.
Let's take him down a notch or two. Can you feel the love?
Never have since I've been here.
Well, I wanted to throw a couple of ideas at you while we can talk before the main meeting. You know, the group that did the boats, the Kitty Hawk Kites, they came in with that truck. They had 12 kayaks. They had several paddle boards that you use the paddle. And then they had that thing that you use your foot pedals with the handlebars. Their charge for that day, for all the equipment and the 3 people that stayed all day and the transportation, was $1,500. How in the world they did that, I don't know. So anyhow, I put out some feelers and asked, would they be willing to come back and just do the boats for us? You know, maybe the last Saturday of July, last Saturday of August, last Saturday of September. He said they couldn't do it at that price. He said they really underestimated, you know, the drive over here and their cost. And he's going to work up a quote. But there may be a way that we could acquire some of those type boats ourselves and do it through recreation. The folks at Walmart sell it. In fact, had I known some of the stuff I knew, I would have brought all my boats. I brought 3, I could have brought 9. You can buy a really nice 10-foot kayak for $168 at Walmart. And the one I have, I paid $400 for 20 years ago. They've really come down in price. They're good quality. And I think we could work it through Parks and Recreation where we kept them on a trailer. We could have staff go down there and just let people use them for free on Saturdays or Sundays or whatever days that we could with part-time staff. I see Lloyd, I'm reading that liability. You know, the company, okay, good, maybe not. The company that was here.
Where you can get them cheaper.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Like Academy or Dick's?
Well, at the end of the season, down at the beach, they all put all their things.
Well, that's true, they do. But I'd like to get some out there now, while it's 100 degrees, and at least let the kids keep playing and enjoying. Yeah. And
they may have some used ones left over from last year.
Well, and they might even sell us some of the used ones they've got now. I'd love to see if we could get a couple of those with the handlebars, because that was the most popular thing for those kids to scoot around on those.
Don't forget the life jackets.
And all the PFDs, because I brought probably 10 PFDs for different size folks for my 3 boats. But what had happened, the company required that every child that went out had to have a signature by a parent for a waiver of liability. And some of those children came without parents. They came with an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, and they were saying, oh, no, got to have a mom or a dad. So they were getting on the phone trying to get them down. Well, I grabbed those kids, took them to my truck, and said, here's a life jacket, there's 3 boats, take them. And if I'd have known we'd run into that, I'd have all 9 of our boats out there. But it was the most, as the video shows, the most wonderful thing in the world to see those children, once they realized they had solid footing under them, that they'd be safe if they just stood up. And they were fearless out on that water, and they stayed within the contained area that Mitch had with the buoys, and
most of them. There were some bigger kids.
Yeah, the bigger kids that were a little more experienced could do it. But I just really think we'd miss an opportunity if we don't try to help people have that kind of continued experience, particularly with the kayaks and the paddle boards.
For me, I think this would be excellent. I like, to me, it's a form of advertising. It's better than me opening a book and seeing it on the pages, but actually to come and witness it, and one has told somebody else, and people were coming from all over, and it was the best camaraderie of a community I have seen since Hurricane Matthew.
Yes.
I mean, we came together, no fussing, it was unity. And that's what Bertie County needs right now.
You're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely correct.
I think it's a great idea.
I don't think it could have been any better, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how it could have been any better.
Yeah, I may have told some. There was a fellow I met at the end
of the day. Out at the end of the day, but it was...
One fellow drove up from Williamston, and when he saw what we had, he drove back to Williamston to get his three grandchildren to bring them back. And I heard more and more stories like mm-hmm. that, where when they got to the beach, they were calling their friends, they were Facebooking, they were FaceTiming so they could show them what we had. But people came far and wide.
Yeah, because people, a few, just wanted to... had this photo grid, we would compare it with the Bahamas, Nags Head, Myrtle Beach. Then there was Burt T. And they were like,
our sand is as good as any of them.
Yeah, so when they saw it was really a real beach, you know, I think they got excited and, hey, you better come. It was great.
Rick told me never tear down that cliff because that's where the sand is at. And yes, sir, you're on cue.
No, I think one of the things that struck me, there was a family from Mary Hill, and it was the first time they'd ever been to a beach.
Are you serious?
I was really struck by that.
Yeah, I heard somebody said it too.
Wow.
Yeah, Mary Hill.
You know, I'll be honest with you, this board really did a good thing. And this thing started 2.5 years ago, I think, something like that. A lot of controversy over it.
Oh, God.
But it's probably one of the best things we ever did. A lot of the best things we ever did.
I think so.
It was amazing reading the comments the other day.
Yeah, I've had nothing on my Facebook.
And then the second phase, like today, yesterday, when are you going to do it again? Mm-hmm. Is it open now?
Exactly.
Can we go?
Hey, listen, I got a call on my way here to me. And it was from Courtney Laster. She couldn't be there since she was working, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, Mr. Trent, she goes, when's it open? I said, dawn to dusk is what we talked about, what we had said. I said, she goes, good, because I'm taking the kids down there tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so I meant, this is a good thing. I mean, this is a really good thing.
I received an excellent suggestion. I'm not going to call the county manager's name, but anyway, I like fireworks, but I don't like the crowd. So I will be there watching it from the Burt T side, the Edenton fireworks. And I think this is just fantastic. Yeah.
It's a really good place to see them.
Yes.
Yeah, let them pay for them and let us enjoy them.
Yes. I'm going to take pictures like I was there. So that's just great, I think. And Sarah, you did an excellent job in capturing the sights.
Miss Camera Lady.
And I can't wait to see
that. That was the cutest thing ever.
I can't wait to see the Her for Her.
I'm hoping you do like a multi-part series, given all the hours you spend. You can't do that all in one day.
We'll put it on Facebook.
Okay.
Instagram.
Okay.
From here, is there anything on the drawing board as far as developing this piece of property?
Well, we're just now beginning to launch that effort, and that's why we have Robin Payne with us here to assist us, and she's done the marketing piece, and I hope y'all took note of the folks that went into Dr. Riggs's tent. I mean, he really had a wonderful time explaining all the possibilities, but in just talking with a few commissioners, heard suggestions about RV type accommodations where somebody can come in with a motorhome. They can use the county facility as a home base to either stay there all week or maybe leave every day and go to Virginia Beach, go to Duck, go to Corolla, go to Greenville to catch a minor league ball game or something.
I would like to see this ball game exploring that.
Well, a couple of things we've talked about is number one, a amphitheater. Number two, a RV spots, and then camping. And anything that we can get people coming in here or be able to hold a concert, something of that nature, would be great as far as people coming to Burt T. County outside the county to an amphitheater, to have the parking, sitting in the lawn, you know what I'm saying, type deal. And I think I was discussing it with Ms. Baysmore and Scott, you know, if you could really get something done, stage with some sidewalls and overhang, engineered for 130-mile-an-hour winds, structurally sound, get a grid steel and have an as-built company come in and get it done. And I think it really can get done for under a quarter of a million.
I think RB needs to go first, though. Yeah, that's going to generate
some money.
Share your idea about the pond. You were the first person that ever mentioned that, and I think it's really cool.
We'll have to do some road construction in there, and if there's sand down there that's suitable for building a road with, we could dig a pond wherever. We need to get somebody coming in and do a plot plan for this place. But I think a pond would be useful there. We could use the sand out of the pond to construct the road. It would probably cut the cost of the road construction by a third. I'm just guessing, throwing it right there, and you'd wind up with a nice pond, which I think would add a lot.
Well, my thing was, and I was talking to Scott, is that the road that we have going in there, if it's properly graded, would be just fine. And it gives that aesthetics.
Yeah, we just need to widen it a little bit.
Well, you take a motor grader and be able to do that without putting a huge expense into a paved road or 5 inches of DOT rock and stuff like that, and take the road we've got. Because I came in and I thought it was a nice little drive getting back in there, okay? And
the only
doing something
complaint,
like
though,
that.
That I had was from a guy from my church who tried to come, and they sat out there on the road waiting for their turn to come down the path because two cars couldn't go at the same time, which you could in some places.
Well, with a motor grader, you could cut that thing wider, okay? And
they ended up going home. And they didn't come. Yeah. That's right.
You put a motor grader in there, and I guarantee you they have a decent road to get in there.
Well, I actually, somebody called me yesterday and asked me to put an RV in there, and I said, don't look. The money to do that with doesn't scare me a bit, because I know what's coming right back.
Yeah, those folks travel, they have money.
Yeah.
One of the things we're going to need for legal help on, Lloyd, is, you know, we were bringing folks in.
Come closer if you want to see it.
We were bringing folks in on this road right here, which is not in our property. Our property is the two yellow lines, which is heavily wooded. So we still need to work out a little bit of. I think Johnson's probably got a pretty good solution
here that knows. Honest God,
In 2005, they're working on a 1-inch equals 25-foot aerial with the contour drawings on it so that we can start laying out all the different activities. Because then we can start coming up with a budget. And,
I just know if you don't know much about this RV park, and I don't. You know, you get started in the wrong direction, and all of a sudden you put stuff in place that didn't need to be, and you can't move it.
Well, Steve's got a lead on at least one RV park developer.
I'd like to have somebody that's got some
experience
laying this thing out so we don't get started off
the yellow wood. No, I think a good experienced developer is going to be great.
A lot of state parks have your RV parking in one area, and then they have tents in another area. And I mean, we could do it all.
You just need somebody that knows how to lay that stuff out.
Right.
That's
you know how to do that. Good deal. Mm-hmm. All right.
We got it.
Problem solved.
And Lloyd, on the 10 acres, do we officially own it today? We
officially own it.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's 147 acres.
That's pretty amazing.
Point 0.5.
Yeah. I can't believe it. Trying to sell it to begin with, they won't go argue.
have no clue.
I tell you, the most funny story I heard Saturday, I was telling them, yeah, and some of the churches around here, they may want to do an old-fashioned baptismal. And young guy said, even my uncle, he called my granddaddy. He was 101. No, he was 111, and he was a minister. He said, he's told me when I was a little boy that when they use those pools and they baptize people in the pool, he said, they wash the sins off, and the next one come in, they just put the sins back on there. he said, you need the river so it keep going away. I said, you know what, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's
pretty cool. So, and quite a few do want to go back.
I actually got a copy of Judge Grant's order signed, dispersing the money, so I'll send you that tomorrow.
Okay.
So are you going to come forward in the regular meeting and discuss this, or is that what we need to do to start?
We should start a few weeks ago with a work session.
We need to have kind of a working group that can do some work before the work session to bring something up with some alternatives. So if anybody wants to dive in and roll up their sleeves, we're welcome to have the input.
It was so many citizens that had input and wanted to put input.
What are we going to do from here?
So yeah, we come up with an
RV park.
And we think with social media, we can put some ideas out there and some questions and surveys and really get some neat input.
And bring motivator and get this
ready. I would say that light is scary.
Well, I know, and with the amphitheater, people coming in for a concert, something of that nature. What'd you say, Steve Biggs? Something about a Woodstock concert back there?
Well, this is the 50th anniversary of Woodstock.
And he's thinking
we could have an anniversary.
You need the herb back there.
What the
gathering out, overlooking the water.
Steve
Woodstock.
You
better go get.
There are just venues like this to be able to have that kind of
overflowing the
Jay-Z. Beyonce.
See, the millennial version is Coachella. Yes. That's all.
Do you have some suggestions for the name? Are you going to discuss that later on with us?
Not today.
Okay.
But in our next session.
Somebody sent me one too.
Oh, good. We need to circle back with name and the branding.
Am I wrong? There's supposed to be another easement in there.
Yeah, there was supposed to be some sort of easement off of 17.
There is.
But it's never been plotted on the ground. That's what we need Mike Neal and Jonathan to get together. You're right, there were two.
New Day Beach.
What is it?
The suggestion was New Day Beach, meaning the dawning of a new day.
Okay.
People can interpret meaning however they
wish. This is what came in on Saturday.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
What did you get on
they
there?
We have a list from New Day Beach.
New Day Beach.
I think it needs to say Bertie's.
Bertie New Day Beach. Yeah, Bertie or. Yeah, to identify this.
Well, this is only what came in on Saturday.
Yeah.
In addition to, 20 other things. Many Waters, Cliffs of the Albemarle, Breezy Point,
that's pretty cool. Cliffs
Bertie Innerbanks, the Bertie Sound, A Living History, Albemarle Bluffs, Falcon Beach.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Two for Cape Heart, Innerbanks, Bertie, home of Bertie, and then we had Camp Albemarle, Cypress Cliffs, Albemarle Cliffs, Cypress Cove, Bertie Beach and Adventure Park, Bertie Beach and Adventure Ground, Bertie Beach and Woodland Adventure Park, Ball Gray Water and Woodland Adventure Park, Bertie Water and Woodland Adventure Park, Bertie Waterfront Forest and Adventure Park, Bertie Waterfront Forest and Adventure Park, Bertie Waterfront Adventure Park, so we've got
lots and lots.
You got about 10 really good names there, to be honest with you.
You'll figure out some.
and I'm not sure of the origin, but some of the old-timers that hunt down there, they tell me that this field here is called K-Park, and that's why the K-Park name. And this field here is called Iceland. And it's really kind of, but the old-timers, they'll say, I'm hunting in the Iceland field or I'm hunting in the K-Park field. So there's a lot of interest in history and...
All right, is that about it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead and take a break. Head on down. Come back for 6 o'clock.